I wish to greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. Good to be with you all again. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you again for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for all that you do for us. We ask, Lord, that you would fill us with your Spirit, that you would give us wisdom, help us be faithful to you. Again, we just want to thank you for all these things. May you be glorified in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I want to open our Bibles to 1 John chapter 1. We'll talk about a few things this morning. Let's just begin reading here in verse 1. It says, "What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at, and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifest to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all." I'm going to stop right there. This is the message that Brother John was giving to us, was about Jesus, whom they had seen with their eyes and touched with their hands. And what I want to bring out this morning is who Jesus was and what he was. The Bible talks about Jesus as being the second Adam. And whenever we think of Jesus sometimes on the earth, you know, I don't know what we think. We sometimes have, you know, this glow around him, having a halo or something. You know, that's the pictures you give, that he was just some magnificent being. The Bible tells us that he wasn't much to look on. It says he was without great desire to look upon. He was just he was a man. And that's what I want to bring out. He was a man. And that's my message. And that's what this message was. You know, we get words in our head like saint. You know, and we have saint as somebody that's way up there. And to the world, I guess that would be all right to have a saint being way up there. But to the church and to God, a saint's not someone that walks on water and goes around and does miracles and does all kinds of things, or as just is some kind of real special person. A saint is a man, like God created in the very beginning. When the Bible tells us about being born again, you know, a lot of times there again, there's another word. You can just go through all the words and how they've been. I've had messages about how words have been hijacked. Born again, you know, we have the concept of born again. You come and you say a prayer and boom, you're born again. And now you're just going to heaven and there's nothing can change that at all. You know, we talked about the word saved, the word saved, we have that idea that we're saved to heaven. But if you really look at what the word saved means in the Bible, it's not saved to something, it's saved from something. We're saved from Satan's power. You know, when we think of Adam in the Garden of Eden, that is what God created man to be. And whenever we talk of being restored or renewed or born again, that is very simply put as becoming what God made you to be. We've got this concept in our minds that, wow, that's something way up there. That, you know, we're to be saved or be a saint or is something way up there unobtainable. And it's so much so that born again now means nothing more than, oh, it's just a change on the inside. Nobody really knows anything about it. We're born again. We can walk together and be together and nobody tells any difference. But when you die, that one goes to heaven because he was born again and this one doesn't. But what being born again means is being restored to what God made you to be. What Jesus was when he was on this earth was a man. Isn't that amazing? That God would take on the actual being of what he created and become what he created. He became a man. And you know what God requires of you? He requires you to be a man or a woman. And it's just that simple. Whenever we think of someone that's a man, you know, a lot of times we think of some big burly character that goes around beating everybody up and he's tough and he's strong. He ain't afraid of nothing. That's kind of the concept we have of being a man. You know, or sometimes we think a man is someone that's angry all the time, bossy, in control of everything, and just taking charge and just really just pushing everybody out of the way and doing it. But when we think of a man, that's what we need to be born again from. Because that's the world's concept of a man. And that's not a man in God's eyes in that same sense. He's the world. But when we think of a man like Jesus, you know, he wasn't a sissy. He wasn't just all timid. And, you know, he got things done. He did what he needed to do. But he did it in mind of others. He did it. You know, you just look at the life of Jesus. That's what this is talking about here. We've seen him. We've touched him. We've been with him. This is God manifest in the flesh. And what it was a man. It's just such a blessing that it's really just that simple. In 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 22 says, since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls. It's amazing how often this comes up. Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. Right there is a picture of a man. You know, we talk about the Bible, the Word of God. You know, and some people, well, jump up and down, and it's the truth. And because I say it's the truth, I believe it. But that's not what the Bible talks about being itself, about the truth. The truth is when we respond to it. One of those other words that we've talked about before is faith. You know, we have the idea that faith is something that just goes on in my mind if I just can get my mind wrapped around this magical little thing and, oh, I have faith. But if we look in the Bible, what faith is, you know, the faith chapter, it talks Moses or Noah moved by faith, went out and built an ark and saved his family. All of those verses, it always talks about Abraham by faith went out of a country looking for another city. Every one of the examples of faith is a response to what God was asking from them. That's what faith is. It's not a magical thing that, oh, I just don't have enough faith to believe something. No, faith is whenever God tells us something and we respond to that. God's faith is your response to God's claim on your life. That's what a man is. A man faithfully responding to what God wants from them. That's what a saint is. It's not some way up there unattainable thing. Every one of us in this room can respond to God's claim on your life. And that's how you become a saint. Verse 22 goes on and says, since you have in obedience to the truth, since you have in obedience to the truth, see that word there, obedience to the truth, obedience to that claim. You know, we're taught in the world that, oh, if you try to obey God, that's works. That's the no, 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 no. That's the big no, no. Works is another one of those words. Works is when you try to do something other than obey God to please Him. That's what works is. The Pharisees knew the Word of God, but they had their traditions. And they said, this is what we're going to do, and we're going to... They nullified the Word of God. If they would have acted in faith and actually obeyed God, they would have had the faith that Abraham had. And we can do the very same thing today. Allowing our traditions and our things to get in the way of actually just doing what we're supposed to be doing. That's one of the things we've got to be careful about. That's why we have to leave some room for other people. Because when God shows us and we respond to doing something by faith, not everybody maybe will understand it. Most people don't. Especially you see it in the Bible. The man that acted by faith, those around him kind of wondered what he was doing. And it might not have made sense to everybody else, but we have to allow each man to make those decisions himself. That's one of the big problems I have with a whole group of people deciding how we're going to live. Because it takes out the individual choice that a man has to make all by himself. And then he has to live by it and walk it out. You know, our faith is something that we walk out. You know, it's amazing to me how many people will want to tell everybody else how to live and they don't have a clue of how to walk it out themselves. The Pharisees were accused of laying down the law and then not lifting a finger to do it themselves. You know, everybody wants to talk about divorce and remarriage maybe or something like that. And there's a lot of people can tell you all about it and tell people how they ought to do it. But you know, there's a big difference in that and somebody walking it out and someone telling you, well, that's a commandment, and don't have a clue about what it means to walk it out. And it goes the same way with almost all the scriptures. One of the things that loving your neighbor is all about is thinking about walking a mile in their moccasins before you start telling them you don't like their shoes. You know, it's easy for us to get it all in a box. Say, you got to do it this way, you got to do it this way, you got to do it this way. And kind of forget all about being a neighbor. Being about what you're asking that other person to do. Could you do it yourself? Maybe you could. Would you want to? If that's what God wanted you to do? Could you be content with it and be happy with it? You know, like I said, it's easy to sit back and say, look at other people and tell how everybody else ought to be living. But I have a big enough problem with just keeping my shoes where they're supposed to be. That's where that mercy, love, patience, forgiveness comes in. You know, whenever we look at Jesus, we don't see him just a leader making sure everybody does everything they're supposed to do. He tells us the way and then walks away. And anybody who chooses rises up and follows him. He doesn't beg anybody. He doesn't try to convince anybody. You know, God doesn't have to be defended. We don't have to prove anything to anybody about God. We respond to him and live by faith. Jesus, when we look at a man, you know, it's easy to find the rule book and put it in. Those things he said, but we miss the outline of the rule book. When he says, love your neighbor. When he says, blessed are the merciful. For they shall obtain mercy. When he talks about forgiveness. You know, those are the things that a man has. Anybody can find a rule book. Rule books are all over the world. Every kind of religion has a rule book and enforcers. But the thing that's missing is the man that can have compassion with someone who is not right where he is. The man who can be patient with someone who isn't up to their level. See, the rule book says if you're not up to my level, you don't qualify. The rule book says if you're not where I'm at, you're not there. The rule book makes us forget that when we started out, we were a long way down the road. And we've had to take a few steps to get where we're at. But a man is able to have patience with those who aren't where he is. And if you notice, in Jesus' life, he was always patient with those. Who wasn't he patient with? Someone way up there who had it all figured out and didn't have any tolerance for anybody under him. He got downright unchristian acting sometimes among those people. Well, wait a minute. He was Christ. It was Christian acting. Because it was Christ. But it was always to the people who were unchristian acting that he didn't have patience with. Appreciated those verses Chet wrote read this morning. You know, responding to the word of God, we're talking about that. That's what being born again is. This next verse, I never even read it. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, that is through the living and enduring word of God. We're born again by this word, by the words of God. And when we hear this, these lessons, these things that we're taught about this morning, you know how you grow and you know how you become more like a man? Is whenever you read verses like that, and instead of say, boy, them are good ones, I'll remember them, and then go on and live your lives. No, whenever you hear those verses, you say, well, that's what I'm going to be. That's my goal. You know that, where was that at, Chet? I want to read it. Oh boy. Chapter 3. Okay. You know, some people are scared of the Apocrypha, these books like this, and this. What we need to remember is they weren't taken out of the Bible until the 1800s. All through history, the Christians used them. I think a reason is it didn't fit theology. Whenever we started developing theology as the means of Christianity, it didn't fit. Because it has a lot of practical things in there. Verse 24 says, a hard heart will suffer ruin in the end. You know, they may, that's what I was talking about, a man standing, you know, and I'm all for standing. But if you've got a hard heart and you're standing with a hard heart, you'll suffer ruin in the end. And there's a lot of people standing. And they're holding on to what they have because they've got a hard heart. And that's the only hope they have. But the problem is it'll be ruined in the end. And he who loves danger will perish in it. You know, when I believe that, guess what? I'm not going to love danger so much. You know, that's another thing. We think, you know, a man is out there facing danger every minute, you know, and just laughing at it. And is... But a real man will go through danger when he has to. But he won't go out just looking for it. The world goes out looking for it. They have to have all these exciting things to exhilarate them and make them feel like a man. Then when the real things come, they're probably the first one running for the bushes, scared to death. But a man, you know, one of the things... Someone told about a man that was, I don't know what he was doing, but they thought, boy, he's really brave. And the man responded, if they could feel my knees shaking, they wouldn't think I was quite so brave. But he went ahead and did it anyway. A hard heart will be weighed down with pains, and the sinner will add sin to sin. Where's the the verse about kindness, where was that at?
29.
Thank you. A sinner will add sin to sin. There's no healing to aid an arrogant man. There's no healing to aid an arrogant man. For a plant of evil has taken root in him. The heart of an intelligent man will ponder a parable. Here again, you know, sometimes we'll think about these things. But the man who has ears to hear it is what the Bible encourages. Listen to what it's saying and apply it to our lives. We're born again by the Word of God. And it's our response to that being Word of God that makes us born again. That plants the seed that begins to grow. The ear of a pupil is a wise man's desire. Here again, same thing. The ear of a pupil is one that's ready to hear it, to apply it. Not just to make himself think he's wiser. Water will quench a blazing fire. You know, it looks raging. Sometimes out of control, but water will quench that. That faith of just taking the next step, doing what we're supposed to be doing, will put out a raging fire. And almsgiving will atone for sins. You know, remembering other people who have a need to put yourself in their place. Remembering them. It'll atone for sins. Not that it's going to wash them all away, but it's how you grow and get past all of those things. Putting yourself in their place. That's how you're a man among men. That's the whole thing. A man among men. That's what Jesus was. And that's what a saint is. That's why they seem to stick out to other people. Well, he's a saint. He's a man among men. He who repays kindness is mindful of the hereafter. You know that he who repays kindness is mindful of the hereafter. You know, we live in a world that wants to forget everything. Or they don't know whether they want to or not, they do. You help people, you do things for them. And, well, they forget all about it in a minute, don't they? And boy, it's easy for us to look, turn around and look and see those people who have forgot what we've done for them. But that's not who we're talking about here, is it? We're talking about what people have done for me. Do I remember that? You know, it's easy, like I said, it's easy to help somebody and, well, they turn around and blow it off and just forget all about you or stab you in the back. And we see it, don't we? The pupil sees, I don't want to be that man. Do I remember what people have done for me? Do I honor those who honor me or have done stuff for me? I know a lot of times, you know, the Bible talks about for us to pray for our rulers and our leaders. And a lot of times, you know, we don't want to be involved in politics and all that kind of stuff. Well, you know, our forefathers that had some faith, some of them, came here because they had the freedom to do it. You don't think they were thankful to the leaders of their government? You know, there's people who have fought and died so that we have these privileges. And we just write them off. Well, them are just, they're government. We don't want politicians. We don't want nothing to do with them. We don't want to follow them. But we can sure be thankful when someone has done something for us and given us the opportunities. We can sure be respectful and thankful. And you know, it doesn't hurt to honor someone like that once in a while. Not because you're honoring, you know, them hurting something, but they have paid a price. And the Bible tells us to pray for our leaders that we might live a peaceful and quiet life. Well, I don't want to be involved in politics. Jesus knew who all his leaders were. Paul talks about all those leaders that were there. They knew them because they were praying for them. And they knew the good ones and they knew the bad ones. You don't have to be campaign managers. You know, the nation gets the people that they deserve. We want good leaders. There's a remedy for that. It says, if my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked way, then I'll heal their land. Doesn't matter how many votes we think we have or can cast or whatever. It's on God's people when they're doing what they're supposed to do. When they're not being religious, not keeping their religion, not keeping their faith, but they're being men like Jesus was a man. He who repays kindness is mindful of the hereafter. And at the time of his fall, he will find support. You know, that tells us a lot about being a man. You know, looking after our parents, looking after our elders, looking after older people, not even among us, but just in the world. You know, there, just this week sometime, you know, I go to the nursing homes and stuff, and there's people that don't matter how much money they had, when they get in a nursing home, when some of their family just sticks them in a nursing home, doesn't matter how important and how powerful they was, they've got some teenage girl wiping the drool off their chin and changing their diapers sometimes. Some stranger a lot of times. Because we forgot to honor. I was just telling that this week, you know, some of the most powerful people in the world, I wind up being their best friend in the end, whenever they're stuck there by themselves and their parents and their family and nobody else will even come and see them. I don't know how many of them have told me that. And a lot of times they despised me in their power. I've heard them say things, but then whenever everybody else is forsaking them, I want to be able to be there and be their friend. You know, being a man is being loyal to your friends, whether they were loyal to you or not. Being loyal is stepping in and taking someone that maybe did you wrong. And you show kindness. The world had turned their back on Christ. They had rejected him, chose a new leader in Satan. And Christ came and lived his life doing good to all of them to show him what it meant to be a real man. May God help us that we might study, not pack knowledge into our heads, that we might study to be a saint, to be a man of God, which is nothing more than being a man that God created, and being like Him. It's not, you know, we don't have to smack somebody down being a prophet and smiting the water and calling down curses on people because that won't listen to us. Being a man is being able to give somebody wisdom and watch them throw it right back in your face and still give them room to make mistakes, to let them make their own choices. And be there to give them a hand if they're down. Whenever their foolish thing has driven them right into the ground, you be the first one there to offer your hand to help pick them back up. That's a saint. That's a man. Or a woman. May God bless y'all. You don't have anything you'd like to share?
There's a song I always like to use to sing. I grew up, heard a lot of God. There's a man here, turned water to wine, water, and I always thought about that, well, he told us that we're going to do greater things through him. It's always made me think, well, we're a man just like you was. We can do it if we trust him that he can do it. So I kind of appreciate that song. It's just made me think about that.
All right. Well, God bless y'all. Depart in peace. God be with you till we meet again. We'll meet back at 6 o'clock, Lord willing.